Mike Feuda joins us, NHL and Sportsnet, former NHL executive with the LA Kings, of course, and a Stanley Cup winner, and a big big Hawks guy as well, if you like NFL. Anyway, I'll never I recycle
you're not,
the
you're, not let, you're not letting that go, are you?
Yeah, well, that's me. I got like three jokes, and I recycle them, so get used to it. How are you doing? Happy Friday.
Yeah, just getting ready to watch the was watching Boston and watch the Kings here with the Wild. So,
yeah, listen.
I know the last names of the NHL teams. Just you.
Yeah, I would hope so. Speaking of the Kings, they're playing really well, and I'm surprised that they're doing as well as they are right now. Should we be surprised, or do you feel that group is overachieving a little bit, or did Christmas come early? What's going on?
Well, I think Todd McClellan's doing an incredible job for one thing. I mean, they've drafted well, and the biggest thing was out of the gate, like, your veterans have got to carry the load, right, when you've got that young a team. And early, they were just kind of out of sorts a little bit. And, you know, I think Todd met them by act, and some of these young kids have, you know, Todd's bounced some kids in that lineup and played his cards right. And the bottom line is the last little bit. I mean, Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson have been exceptional. And when you get that kind of goaltending, when you've got a young team, you know, they gain confidence, because when they make mistakes, saves are being made, and it's kind of snowballed into a winning streak. And I think what's happening now is that respect and that culture is being rebuilt, because I do think for a time there, it was like teams saw us on the schedule or the Kings on the schedule, and you didn't really get anybody's A game. Like, I talked to a couple teams about, like, when you used to come in on that California swing and had to play Anaheim, San Jose, and Los Angeles, you got your rest because you knew you were in for it. And then for the last little bit, it's been a little bit more of a, not a trip that you look at with as much fear as you once did. And I think that you're now seeing the Kings, you know, get a little bit of that respect. I think some of the teams that have taken them lightly are finding out that, I think for one thing, I think guys like Drew Doughty, you're not happy seeing him as not even being considered for the Olympic team. And, you know, people talk about Brownie like he's washed up, and Quick like he's washed up. And these guys have a lot of pride. I mean, Jeff Carter come back, and they've kind of led the way for the young guys, and the young guys have been playing excellent. So looks good on them. I don't think at six wins in a row, that's a good streak. I mean, that just involves a lot of good goaltending and some solid play, but it should be interesting to see if they can maintain it. I mean, they wanted to compete for a playoff spot, and they put themselves in that neck of the woods for sure.
Looking at the Canadian division so far, Mike, like, things change so fast. We were just talking about how tough it is to handicap the division. It felt like after 10 games, it was, you know, Montreal, Calgary, they're in this top tier of the North Division, and Toronto's in there, and the rest of the teams are fighting for fourth. And, well, here we are, you know, 12 games later, and Calgary's floundering, and a bunch of people are looking at them like, well, who can they move out? And Montreal fires their coach. Are you having a tough time getting a handle on what this Canadian division look like and how fast things change?
Well, yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, for me, it's kind of like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then there's another tier. I think Montreal, obviously they have incredible expectations. You know, the players they added, the success in the bubble, get off the start they had. And I think, you know, to make the move they made, like, if you had told me the organizations that I felt changes were coming in, you know, that just shows the bar that they've set for themselves this year, because that's not a team I would have expected to wake up in the morning and see Claude Julien's without a job. I mean, I was like, wow, he really should have challenged that goal, because it was, it's like they really took that one harsh. But I mean, it's a strange one, because I always look at that kind of situation and wonder if they'd won that game, do they still make that decision the next day? And usually it happens. Like, we beat them when Rob Blake decided to take, like, we won a big game at home, and then he'd already made up his mind that he was making a coaching change the next day. So it was a thought out decision. It wasn't just a spur of the moment thing. So I believe that was probably in play ahead of that. And obviously the one everybody seemed more surprised was Kirk Muller, who was kind of the head guy last year when Claude went down with the health issues. And anybody that I've ever spoken to, like when I talked to Toffoli and those guys, they they loved Kirk Muller. So it's just, it's a strange one, but I guess, you know, in the Montreal market, everybody speaks very highly of Ducharme, and they've got a different level of expectations. So, I mean, to come out and have the result they did against Winnipeg, I mean, it's only going to crank up the pressure even more.
I wonder if that wasn't almost a little bit of a look behind the scenes, Mike. You know, Claude Julien gets fired, and everyone asks the same question. If they get that late goal from Sherratt on the Gallagher interference, does he still have a job the next day? And in situations like this, is it that fine of a line sometimes between losing your job and keeping it?
Well, it might have bought him another day. I think that kind of decision's already been made. But I do think when something happens where if they're saying there's not enough urgency and the team had too many long losing streaks under Claude and there was not like that, the dynamite sticks burning, we got to get going now. And there was a little bit of less, you know, not more panic to win, so to speak. That whole finish of the game would sum it up, I guess, a little bit, because he didn't challenge it. And clearly the way these challenges have gone, there's probably a pretty good chance that it would have been, you know, I mean, I've seen the goal a bunch of times, and I think he had a chance to reset, and they had a case, but they didn't make the case, and all of a sudden you're losing the shootout, and maybe it gets pumped ahead a couple of days instead of giving them a chance to get on another run. It's just, forget it, we got to make the move. And the fact that the part about it that's always difficult is when you obviously know that there were discussions going on ahead of time. I mean, because of the way, I mean, it was an assistant coach being promoted, and those discussions are tough to have when you're on the bench as an assistant coach, knowing you're going to be the head coach. And it's a difficult decision, but that's, as I've said, that's why it's professional sports. It comes with a lot of positives and a lot of negatives. And I mean, obviously there's certain teams in Canada right now that have a sense of urgency on where they want their team to be. And there's others that are just, you know, riding a stationary bike.
And with Montreal as well, like, we're seeing Jake Allen getting another start, and there's this, you know, talk of, you know, Carey Price, he's got to just do a bit more work with the goalie coach and all this sort of stuff. We were having a conversation, Mike, of, you know, some of the tough contracts across the league right now. And you even see in Buffalo, Jeff Skinner getting scratched, and he's got a 2027 ticket with $9 million a year till then. You know, in your time, like, how quickly into contract do you go, ooh, you know, maybe we kind of regret this one? And you don't need to say any specific names, you know, don't want you to do that, but is there times when you look into a contract and you're like, maybe I wish we could have done this one differently?
100%. I mean, two come to mind. I mean, I'm not going to be, we're talking out loud. It's not a bad thing. Marian Gaborik was lights out for us in the playoffs and scored, I think, 15 goals and on the last year of his deal. And that Marian, who was a great teammate, and he could have been the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, but Marian has a history of doing that in this contract year. And, you know, a decision was made to sign him to a longer-term deal, which, you know, it's just kind of been passed around from buyout to buyout to buyout. And he never got healthy again. And, you know, it's his tabs on a lot of different people's spreadsheet. So those are the kind of things that, you know, you could probably make that trade, win the cup, and walk away from, and it comes down probably one of the best trades in history. But now there's been a lot of tailspin to it. Kovalchuk's another one that was, you know, once it's done, and then you can see right away that the coach doesn't feel good about him, and you're looking at the term, you're just shaking your head, going, "Oof, this one's going to be tough to come back from." There's other ones that. There's trades you don't make, and there's other things that turn out to be exceptional. But, I mean, I don't know what the Buffalo thing. I mean, obviously it wasn't them that management team that signed them. I mean, obviously it was that ownership group that signed off on it. But I don't know what's sitting them out for this long. I mean, if they think he's just going to, you know, if he's going to get tired of sitting in the press box and decide to go to the KHL, that's just not going to happen. So I understand a game maybe to wake him up, but if it's to constantly sit him out when there's, your team's not winning anyways, and you got, you know, what is he got, 6 years or five left on it, you guys said? Like, that's crazy. Like, that's absolutely crazy. You've got to try and find a way to get him going. He's not tradable when you're identifying him as a healthy scratch. Your best bet is to do everything best to try and get him on a run. If he, maybe then somebody you bite on it, you can eat some salary, but nobody's going to trade for him while he's in a suit, and he's certainly not going to help your team while he's in a suit. So, but their decision, that's a tough contract there, though. Oof.
Yeah, it's like there. We talk about bad contracts, right? And we've had a lot of, you know, hand-wringing and angst and calls and texts over Louis Erickson here 6x6. But Louis Erickson 6x6 is nothing compared to 8 years, $72 million for Jeff Skinner. Like,
well, they both do qualify in the ooh boy category, though.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but yeah. Like, we're all honestly, like, we're almost, believe it or not, we're almost through the Erickson one. He's got 1 year left after this COVID season, but Skinner is, you're right. They have to get him going, because that's not even, you can't even trade him and take a bad contract back, because there's no equal at this point. Like, there's nothing.
No, and I think I'm pretty sure there's a no movement term to it. And then you've got it's like a $35 million buyout. I mean, the Bagoulas aren't going to do that. So it's just a tough one all around. So,
yeah.
And I mean, the hard part too is he's a very tough player to play with. A lot of centermen have struggled with him because he's all over the map, but he's not a bad kid. Like, this isn't a cancer or a kid that doesn't work hard. He's just really difficult to play with. And that was in Carolina. That was a problem. And then he finally got lightning in a bottle with Eichel. And, I'm sure Eichel has said he doesn't want to play with him, or he would be playing with him, because you'd hope that they could get it, at least find that chemistry they had in the one season. But it's a tough decision. Tough decision. That's why Kevin Adams gets the big bucks.
Yeah, and I feel sometimes that's an organization that over the years took heat, right? Because they let Drury walk, and they didn't re-sign Briere, and we're going back a long time. And finally, so they make a pretty good trade with Carolina, and Skinner comes in. He scores 41 goals, and even though you kind of had to grit your teeth, and even it was like, oh boy, we really want to give him this money. People were demanding it. It's like, you cannot let someone else walk, and they were just, I don't know, they just almost got pressured into it by the fans a little bit, and you can't let yourself do that.
No, you can't. And it's not, there wasn't a, I mean, it was once, I guess you got to go over a larger picture of history of scoring and stuff like that, that I just thought the term and the money was just crazy. But again, hopefully he can find some semblance of a game, because he's not a bad kid at all. He's just, and now you can't really feeling sorry for somebody's not quite fair, because he's not delivering and he's making an incredible amount of money, but It's a tough one on everybody, because he obviously doesn't feel good about letting the city down either.
When there's a contract like that out there, and a player who can, you know, provide value and score a lot of goals and everything like that, what's the conversation like internally? Say, hey, like, should we explore this? And if we did, what else would we want? And do you have those conversations, or is the risk just too high?
No, you have these conversations. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you try and get an honest picture. Like, and it's a strange one. Like, with LA, we always felt, or I know I felt, that Toffoli was going to be a 30-goal scorer every year, 25 in a bad year. And I thought Tanner Pearson was going to score 20 every year, 15 in a bad year. And realistically, they've stuck to it. I mean, they their entire career, they ended up having some, you know, they got into a funk in Los Angeles, but clearly since then, that's what they've lived up to. So you want a pattern of consistency out of players. And that's why, I mean, Vancouver is going to have a decision coming up here, because now, again, they've got a kid like Tanner Pearson, you know, who he's a top, I mean, he's a second line left winger, can play in your top line. He can also, if he drops down to your third line, you're probably a Stanley Cup contender, but he brings effort. He's a great penalty killer, but he probably is going to score you 20 goals a year, which is tough to do in the National Hockey League. And he absolutely loves it there. So, I mean, again, if you're eventually going to try and put a team together that looks like they care about each other and wants to win a championship, it's really important the veterans want to be there and want to make the right kind of impact. So eventually those kind of decisions are going to have to be made to keep people around that want that to be their home, and they want to be a part of the solution moving forward. So be interesting.
Before we let you go, and you mentioned Pearson, you have experience with him. So this is, I'll admit, not to set you up, but this is going to be the money clip. This is going to be the clip that fans download the podcast for. You're a GM. You're a GM of another team, and this isn't going to be like some franchise changing deadline for the Vancouver Canucks. We know that there's Pearson, and maybe Sutter if he eats some salary. But you're another GM. Tanner Pearson's a Stanley Cup winning, versatile guy. What do you think, Mike, is the market and the price that teams should be willing to pay for Tanner Pearson? The sooner the better.
Probably. I mean, I don't think he's that A-level like guy that gets your first-round pick and a top prospect, but you should probably be getting a, you know, a second-round pick and a pretty good player back, a good young player back. But I'd be having the conversation with Tanner before he goes out the door. Is that the minute this season ends, bud, and you're UFA, we want you back in a Canuck uniform. And I mean, this is part of a growth period for you, where we, you know, where we, you know, and that's what, if you decide to move him. I mean, I think right now you're clearly in the, it's not the year you wanted. I mean, you probably would like to try and acquire some more assets. Especially if you're out of it, you don't want to look like you're throwing in the towel to your young guys, but clearly with the, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's a real hard team to read. I mean, they had that great week against Ottawa. They've had, you know, they've played better hockey, but there's just a lack of a winning culture, and it's getting acceptable to lose and just more frustrating. I mean, you see the frustration on the top guy's face, but
for sure
it's a decision. It's a decision you have to make, because you've got a player that's won a Stanley Cup that wants to be a part of the solution. So you maybe you have that conversation with him, and you get a good idea. You talk to his agent, Joel Resnick, about what it's going to cost to get him back, whether you sign him now or you gauge what you can get on the market and have a deal in place that when the season's over, this is going to be waiting for you. Get him back. So it's, and then it's a kind of a win-win that you're adding some pieces to your shelf, but at the same time, you know, you're getting a player back in your fold, and you want him to be a big part of your future. I mean, you just can't, you've got to have some of these pieces that are traded for, that you trade for, that are part of your solution. I mean, you know, take Toffoli's, you know, you traded whatever the assets were. I think it was the Northeastern product and a second round pick or whatever it was for Ty. And then he walks, right? So you want to get the best of both worlds. If you're going to move some of these guys, you want to make sure you're getting something back. But these players that you're trading for are still a part of your future. Like, you acquire Tanner Pearson, that's a great trade. You don't want to just lose him and have him walk away and not be a part of your future. Like, he's a Stanley Cup champion that's going to help those guys.
Mike, thanks for this. We always appreciate the time. Enjoy. We're midway through Kings and Wild first period, so enjoy it. Enjoy your Friday night.
Sounds good. Have a great night, guys.